All right, so here we are in the airport, getting ready to take off to head to DC for the weekend. On the plane, we're going to review the case and kind of go through some of the details of where we're going to be going. The AUSAs have sent us kind of a breakdown of where we're going to be going through in the tour, what rooms we're going to be seeing, what rooms are public and not public. What else are we going to do? What's important?
What rooms we can take pictures in and what rooms we can't take pictures.
Right, but what about where they all walk and stuff like that?
We're going to start at the Washington Monument and follow the exact trail of the protesters as they went from the rally for Trump. And as they walk to the Capitol, we're going to do the whole route.
Hi, I'm Peter Tragos, host of the Lawyer You Know podcast and YouTube channel. The saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until you need one. Well, I'm here when you need one to answer your questions and give you insight that you didn't know you needed. Along with my partners, Pete Sardis, the professor, who has a finance and business background, and George Tragos, my dad and the conciliary, a criminal defense giant, we can answer any questions you have.
Right, so, and the reason for that is we want to see everywhere they went, the different charges that, and not everybody's charged with the same exact thing. Everybody did different things. Some were violent, some took stuff, some broke stuff, some entered where they shouldn't have entered, some were just walking through or passing by, or some were just there, right? So it's going to be important for us to see kind of where they all went, what laws were potentially broken, if any were. So that's why it's important for us to kind of go through and walk where they walked, see where they walked, go through on a tour of everywhere they walked, kind of down the, not just in the Capitol, but where else.
We also want to see what obvious barricades there are, what they were really, how they were told they shouldn't go here, they should go here. All of that stuff you can't see if you're not there. You actually don't walk the walk and stay in the same place as they did.
Why don't you tell them about how we ended up picking this weekend to go?
Well, the Capitol Police only authorized certain times you can go. And they only authorized times when the Congress was not in session, so no one else would be in the building and we wouldn't be interfering with the governmental operation. And we had to get into places that you normally can't get into, like the Speaker's office. Well, during the week, the Speaker's office is a very busy place. But when we'll be there, we'll be the only ones there.
Because it'll be on a weekend.
Right. We've also been instructed we cannot ask Capitol Police any questions. Any questions we have to refer to the assistant U.S. attorney in our case. So there's going to be no conversation. I don't know how many other lawyers will be doing this with us.
They gave us, what, 3 or 4 dates to choose from, right?
Right.
3 or 4 weekends, and we picked the weekend that worked best for us. We had to plan it out. We had to get cleared. To even
twice.
Come on the trip.
Actually,
twice.
Get cleared,
right.
Twice.
So they had to put all our names, do everything they needed to do to make sure that we were cleared to come on and go.
Make sure we weren't security risks.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. We're really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a very interesting once-in-a-lifetime type of experience to do the tour of the Capitol in this way and to get kind of the access we're going to get. There's going to be a lot of stuff we can't talk about throughout this vlog and these videos. We're going to try to show as much as we can. We're going to try to talk about as much as we can. Obviously, there's going to be some stuff that we can't show, some stuff we can't talk about, but we'll bring you along for the ride as much as we can. Anything else before we close this part?
Nope,
all right,
good.
We'll be back next time. All right, so we're in the hotel room. We're kind of getting ready to go on the first of our 2 tours of the day today. It is Saturday, the day we've planned to kind of walk the steps of the people that were at that pro-Trump rally. Dad, explain why we're going on 2 separate tours and kind of what our plan is with the first one versus the second one.
Well, the first tour is to walk the steps of the Trump rally and those people that were here in the protest.
Before they actually get to the Capitol.
Before they get to the Capitol.
Right, so that's the first part. It's going to be unassisted by the AUSAs. It's just going to be something we do on our own. Not every defense attorney is going to be on this tour. Where this first tour, we're walking the steps of the people that were at the Trump rally. Where do we start, where do we end, and how do you know kind of where we want to go?
Well, we start at the Washington Monument. And it's very easy if you go on Wikipedia, for example. Wikipedia really has a minute by minute, after looking at all the emails and the news releases and everything you can get your hands on, they put together a timeline. So we're going to start at the Washington Monument. The Megatrons for President Trump's speech were located right there because you can see the White House from the Washington Monument. So they put the Megatrons up there. The crowd gathered there. His speech started about noon, and we're going to walk from there toward the Capitol building in the same area where everyone else walked. I'm only hoping, we haven't checked yet, I'm hoping there's no barricades still there. There's nothing stopping us from walking along the National Mall. from there straight to the Capitol
building. Yeah, we don't know what we're going to find yet, but as you can imagine, with social media, Instagram, Facebook, text messages, emails, all the data that the government could put together and compile based on January 6th, there was plenty of evidence, and it was not hard to put together this timeline. Like, people were posting pictures and texting people and emailing people all over social media and personally. So that's how they could easily put together this timeline.
Yeah, you have no idea how much closed circuit television there is in Washington, D.C.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Every building has
security cameras.
Security cameras, everything. And they put it all together so they could trace it. The one thing that's kind of funny is I tried to find a good estimate of how many people were here and how many people were in the total gathering. And it ranged from 5,000. To 50,000, you know, there's really a big range, and I think a lot of it has to do with what side's looking at the numbers. But I couldn't get a real good feel for how many people were actually at the rally.
Do you know how many people are being prosecuted?
So far, a little over 500 people have been actually charged, and they're looking to charge 1,200. That's apparently their number.
So 1,200 total are getting charged. And one of the reasons for that, and we're going to talk about this as we go through the walk, and hopefully as we go through the Capitol, depending on how much of it is public versus non-public, but not everybody did the same thing, right? Not everybody went the same way. Not everybody took the same steps. Not everybody smashed a window. Not everybody injured somebody. Not everybody charged in. Some people were just walking through open doors. Some people were just moseying around. So we're going to kind of go through the normal steps of a person that went through on the January 6th day.
That's why the timeline is kind of important, because if you know when the first barricades went down at about 12:50 p.m. Trump didn't finish his speech till about 1:10 p.m. So that means before a lot of that crowd even got there, the initial crowd, the initial group of protesters had already broken down the barricades, were already heading up the steps of the Capitol, and that initial window that we've seen so much that was broken by a police shield, actually, by someone holding that police shield, didn't happen till 2:11 p.m. So depending on when you got there, if you were a protester, you might have seen no barricades, the police may have already been gone, the steps may have been clear all the way up, and the people that broke the windows went around and opened doors. They unlocked them and opened doors. So you might have walked through a completely open door into the Capitol.
Yeah, and the worst of the worst, as you can imagine, was in that initial part, breaking the barricades when the window was broken, while some people were still at the pro-Trump speech. So like I said, not everything is equal with everything you're going to read in the news. Every article you're going to read in the news is not going to be about every single person that was there or the 1,200 people that were there, because 1,200 people didn't break a window. 1,200 people weren't the first ones on scene. 1,200 people weren't the ones injuring other people. So all of that's going to be kind of on a spectrum for each person that's prosecuted in these Capitol riot prosecutions. But what's going to be interesting is we're going to see exactly how long it takes just to do a normal walk from the Washington Monument to the Capitol, which is what a lot of these protesters did. The other issue is, and a lot of people have talked about a lot of conspiracy theories, you know, is that some people weren't even at the pro-Trump rally that ended up in the Capitol, right? And that's some of what you're saying, is that some of these barricades may have been taken down in the middle of his speech. So if you're really a pro-Trump thumper and you're at a speech and you want to rah-rah, you know, the real patriots are taking over the Capitol today or whatever, you would still be at that speech.
Yes.
Yet these barricades were taken down in the middle of his speech, right? So that just kind of adds to the intrigue and adds to the, you know, who really broke the barricades, who really broke the windows, things like that. So we're going to see exactly the timeline today. We're going to learn a lot of facts today. We're going to see inside the Capitol today. We're going to walk the footsteps of those protesters, of the pro-Trump rally, people that walked from Washington Monument to the Capitol building. And we'll see what it looks like. We'll see what it feels like. We'll see how long it takes. And we'll share as much of that ride as we can with you.
So here we are, where it all kind of started. It's where the speech was.
USA! USA!
Where we're at here. So this is the front of the Washington Monument. Okay? Looking out here, that's where all the people were. And if
America first! America first! America first!
If you look way out into the distance here, I'll try to zoom in if I can. What do we see out there, Dad?
Well, that's the Capitol building. So they walk straight from here. All right, if you look at the green space and the two walkways on the left and right, that's the area they went straight up, straight there, up those stairs, into the Capitol building.
And that is a little over a mile, it looks like?
A little over a mile, yes.
Okay. And so everybody that was standing out here, so where was Trump when the speech was happening?
All right, now look over here. And you've got to move a little bit. On the left side, if you see, there is a Victorian building. That's the executive office building. To the right of that, if you look, you'll see a roof of a shorter building. That kind of a round roof, that's the White House. The Megatrons were set up between the White House and the Washington Monument, so everybody here can view what Trump was saying.
And again, the crowd, though, was out here.
The crowd was out
here. On the grass, for the most part. And then that's obviously the Capitol where they all walked. So here's a reference point, standing by the Washington Monument. We are in the grass now. Walking through the grass toward the Capitol. Do you have any idea how to turn on the auto balance on this thing?
Sure. One thing I want to point out, take a look around, you'll see how few tourists there are on a Saturday in Washington, D.C.
Saturday at 11.
People are just walking around, and again, no crowds, no lines.
We got some workout warriors over there on their fitness journey.
See the food trucks over there.
Yeah.
And then again, the Smithsonian to our
There's
right.
no traffic anywhere.
Right.
This is June 2021. So this feels about halfway between the Washington Monument and the Capitol. And the two main roads here you can see on this side and on this side where most of the people from that Trump rally from the Washington Monument walked to get to the Capitol are Madison and Jefferson is what they're called. And this is where, you know, my dad likes to tell us Bill Clinton went for his morning jogs and famous parts all down Washington that are now part of this January 6th investigation and prosecution that we're dealing with. But it's cool to be out here and see, although it's kind of weird because there's almost no tourists. It's basically just people that live here walking, jogging, running, working out, living their daily lives. So it's a much different feel than the last couple times I've been to DC. So we're still on our way to the Capitol. It's going to take us longer than 45 minutes because we're kind of making our way slowly, taking in some of the sights and what's going on around us. But that day, if you can just imagine, it was way more packed.
We are going to the Capitol, where our problems are. It's that direction.
Everybody walking all different directions, probably getting in each other's way. But we're continuing on our trek to the Capitol.
If you get a look at the Capitol now, you'll see stairs on the left and the right-hand side of the columns. Those stairs were barricaded, and the Capitol Police were there. Capitol Police then had a view. They were seeing this crowd coming from the Washington Monument down the National Mall straight for them. And at this point, I'm sure they knew what was coming.
USA! USA! USA!
Do you really think that they figured this was going to happen?
Yes. If you look at the timeline, they started making phone calls to the Metropolitan Police and to various other agencies to see if they could get help if they needed it.
So they knew that this crowd was going to come right through and they weren't going
to
stop at the barricades?
Well, they didn't know it was coming through, but they
knew that
there was some
risk. Stuff like this in the past, just not
right. They knew there was risks. And they were worried that they didn't have enough manpower if, in fact, it did turn into something. So they did start making phone calls.
Interesting. And they could see it coming from literally a mile away. One of the routes they could have potentially taken.
From the mountains through the prairies.
This is us walking where they walked, basically, to try to get an idea of the different routes. That they all took.
Now you see the fencing area closed. All used to be open at one time to American citizens.
So the public used to be able to walk up there. Not since January 6th. And this is another route some of them took, right, this way.
Some of them went up this way, and I think some of them went straight ahead.
Some of them this way. And then there are other entrances on the other side if they would have walked around the body of water to the right. All closed off now. Just wanted a shot of the stairs.
Yeah! Yeah!
A building that is holds a special place for us.
I also think I would think
Supreme Court of the United States. Pretty cool. Right across from the Capitol. Jefferson Library of Congress. Again, all these historic buildings surround the Capitol. What?
Take a picture of this.
So as we go throughout this video and throughout this tour, when it starts, you're going to see videos and pictures of certain rooms. Those are the public rooms. It was made very clear to us that they were public and we could take pictures and videos. You're going to see us also talk about some non-public areas like the Senate chamber, the House chamber, the Speaker of the House office, and the hallways and surrounding areas that are non-public. We were not allowed to take pictures or videos, but we will show you some videos of January 6th protesters going in these areas to show that they were there. We toured these areas, saw and walked where they were, but we were not allowed to take pictures or videos. So Dad, why don't you kick us off? Tell us kind of where we first started and how the tour went.
So as we said before, we entered through the south door. We went through the security, and now we're getting ready to actually start the tour. They gave us diagrams, and here you can see it on the screen, and we'll try to follow along in the same path that we did. Sometimes they went up and down staircases. Staircases were hard to see or even to know which staircase they're talking about. These diagrams that we received those from the Department of Justice, so that they could show us and give us an idea of what it is we were looking at. The other issue that we have is there's sometimes not a lot of logic between what was non-public and what was public. Because if you see the news every day, a lot of these hallways where they wouldn't let us take pictures, they're on the news every day.
And there were some outdoor spaces that are obviously public viewing spaces that we couldn't take pictures or videos. It was very weird.
Yeah.
And all the defense lawyers there we kind of talked to, and they all felt the same way and thought some of the tour was kind of crazy that these areas were non-public and we couldn't take pictures.
Now, you could shoot the outside of the Capitol from the street, but not from standing in front of the Capitol.
And there's even some rooms where you could shoot down the hallway from one room, but you couldn't walk into the hallway and film.
Right. If you passed an archway, dang, it became private and you couldn't shoot anymore.
That's literally what he said.
But if you're on the other side of the archway, you could shoot down the hall.
He was like, you see this archway? Once you pass here, it is non-public. No cameras better be out.
Or once you step on this step, you can't take a picture of the staircase anymore.
Yeah.
Although you can take a picture of it if you're off the step. Anyway, so a lot of it didn't make sense. We were watched very closely. There were security everywhere.
So we walked in the south side, and where do we go?
Okay, we passed the majority leader's office, Hoyer. We saw his office as we're going through, and they go up the stairs, and we go to the speaker's office. Now, the speaker's office is a really secure area. As you can imagine, this is Nancy Pelosi's office. You go into her area. We got there. We got in front of the door where it says speaker's office, and her hallway is very secure as well. But the door itself, we couldn't go in, and it made no sense. If you'll remember, one of the protesters sat on her desk, put his feet up on her desk, and they actually took her laptop. But we couldn't actually physically enter the office, but we got to see it.
And one other thing that was, you know, important about the speaker's office is you're not going to see any of our video there because that's a non-public area where we couldn't take any videos or pictures. But you will see a ton of videos and pictures from January 6th in that hallway and the office for the speaker.
After the speaker's office, we go down the hall to the National Statuary Hall. And in there, we see statues all around. And you'll see statues throughout the Capitol. Every state is allowed two statues. And a lot of those statues were damaged.
Stay peaceful.
First of all, are you and your colleagues safe right now?
During the Capitol protest. In fact, according to the architect of the Capitol, there could be as much as $30 million worth of damage throughout the Capitol.
And it's interesting because some of the statues have like connections to racism and the Civil War and are talked about being changed. So it was kind of cool to go in there and see them because a lot of this could change over the next few years of what these statues look like. And as you can see from our videos, you can always just see how many criminal defense lawyers are standing around the whole time. But you can see the statues, you can see how they're set up, you can see the ornate nature of every room we go in the Capitol.
Right.
Look at the walls, look at the ceilings, look at the floors, look at how just expensive and just dripping with just how much money it costs to build this, which my generation would see as a waste of money, but you see as it's some great grand place to walk
in. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it gives you the feeling of grandeur when you walk in. It is true. They'd never build it today.
No, it's immaculate. It's crazy what it looks like in there and how just expensive
everything
seems.
All the marble. In fact, you were commenting with the granite on the steps.
Yeah.
Every step.
Solid piece.
There's no seams.
I mean, it's crazy. And it was also cool because just to think about how old this building is and how the same stairs are used all the time, we're kind of jumping ahead. But when we go through the stairwells up and down, the part closest to the railing on every single one of these steps was worn down because of all the footsteps that were taken there. There was literally divots in the granite. When you'd walk through there, you could feel the divots where the feet had walked before we went there, which is really cool to think about. It's cool, though, to think about what people walked up and down those steps so many times before we did. So it's kind of a cool piece of history.
The same steps.
So the statue room, which is what I called it, was the first non-public room we went to. We'll show some pictures from January 6th of what was going on in that statue room, where when the protesters were there, what they were doing, what it looked like, as you can see on the screen. Much different from when we were there in this video that we took.
I've never been in this house. How about you? No, you own it. That's right. We own it. We own you.
Where do we go? Or
from there, we went to what's called the Speaker's Lobby. The Speaker's Lobby is right behind the House Chamber. The reason that we had so much going on over on the House side of the building, if you remember, that's where they had the greatest incursion of people or protesters on the House side. They kept them out of the Senate pretty well, but they actually got into the House chambers. They went and sat on top of the Speaker's desk in the House chambers. The Speaker's Lobby right behind the House chambers, that's where Pelosi would have gone. And that's probably where Vice President Pence probably went. It's called the Speaker. It's a very secure area behind the House. So we leave there and we now travel back through Statutory Hall and we travel into the Great Rotunda.
This is the rotunda.
This is the Great Rotunda.
We need some additional squads in the rotunda. It's us versus about 200 people.
Public area, the Great Rotunda for everyone. That is when you're looking at the Capitol, the big dome that's in the very middle of the Capitol, that's the Great Rotunda that's under that.
And we get a great shot of that in our video. I go all the way up to the ceiling. You can see, sorry for the camera work and how bouncy and stuff it is because it was me doing it. I'm not a professional cameraman and I was holding our camera as we're walking. But there's some really cool shots and cool things to see. Like when you look up at the top of the Great Rotunda and you see the dome like my dad was talking about, it's crazy. And again, it just explains how beautiful and ornate the building is. This was another public area, obviously.
Right. So then we leave the Great Rotunda, and we go out, and I believe it is the east, right? We go out the east door. When you go out the east door, there's a single staircase coming up to the Capitol building. That staircase is the staircase used by the protesters when they came up and entered the Capitol building. Understand, there's one great staircase east. On the west side in the middle, there are two great staircases. So they all came up this one staircase, and that's when they came in to the rotunda. And that's where we have some damage, which interestingly enough, we didn't see much damage. Later on, we'll talk about, we did see the broken window, but we didn't see much damage as we were going through So I don't know where the $30 million comes in, but that's how much.
Well, that
they
could
say.
Be like one piece of granite there. With the materials they use are probably expensive. Yeah. But yeah, I honestly didn't notice any damage.
I noticed the window.
Well, we saw the scaffolding, but the window was already fixed.
The window was broken. It still had cracks in it. Yeah,
it looked like it was fine to me. I didn't notice really any damage as I walked through the Capitol, to be honest, especially not $30 million worth. But
and I've seen a lot of pictures of what it looked like after the protesters
left. Yeah, sure. Inside, I'm sure there was, and I'm sure they fixed some stuff already. So we went to the Speaker's lobby, which he just explained what that was. Then from the Speaker's lobby, we went into the House chambers, which is one of the coolest rooms in the entire Capitol building. And that's where you see the House of Representatives, all of the people there. They make their votes. They make their arguments. There's the gallery up top. The Speaker of the House sits in her chair, kind of like where a judge sits in a courtroom. It kind of looks like a courtroom. And we went up to the kind of the gallery and the top second level in the back. Again, this was non-public, so we weren't able to take any videos or pictures, but you'll see from this January 6th video, they were all over this place. They were all over the chambers. It was a really cool room. They, you know, disparaged it, basically, the people that went in there and did some of the stuff, stealing the podium.
They sat up in the Speaker's chair. They did all the...
They were pretty disrespectful to people that were in these videos, but it was really cool to be in that room. That was one of my favorite rooms to go in. Would you agree?
Well, to me, we haven't gotten there yet, but the Senate was much cooler.
Yeah, so one of the things with the House chambers is it was just chairs. They didn't have tables.
No desks.
There was two tables, kind of like counsel table in a courtroom, which you can see from this picture. There were two tables, but not every chair had a table because of how many chairs are in there, because of how many House representative members there are. So then we leave the House, and then we go through the National Statuary Hall and into the Great Rotunda.
Go from the Great Rotunda to the Senate chambers. And that's the gallery again, where we're sitting up top, looking down on the Senate.
Tell about some of the differences between the House and the Senate.
Well, it's much smaller, actually. It's about there's about 1/4 of the number of members. There's only 100 senators.
Is the actual room smaller?
Yes.
Oh, it didn't look, they seem kind of similar.
The room is smaller. Each chair has a desk.
It's like the old school. If you've ever been to St. Augustine or seen one of the first schools,
just
like those
that.
Little like desks that the students
have. It kind of lifts up like a writing desk.
That's what it kind of looks like. And each one of them has their own. Again, non-public. This was private, so we couldn't take any pictures. We sat up in the top gallery again, looked down. We were actually able to sit in some chairs, which I got to be honest with you. My dad is a few years older than me. This was a long walk, a lot of steps, a lot of walking, a lot of standing for 2 hours. So we were able to actually sit down for a minute when we got here, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. To sit up in the gallery in the Senate and in the House chambers was awesome. One of the highlights of the tour.
And we saw elevators. There were elevators, but they all said reserved for members.
Yeah.
So nobody was offered an elevator ride or anything. If you couldn't walk it, you were in trouble.
There was nobody in a wheelchair, but somebody mentioned, like, what would they do if one of us was in a
then
wheelchair?
My guess is they'd let you use
they'd
the elevator.
They'd have to, but we didn't have that
they'd
issue.
They'd have to follow the
tour.
ADA. I
mean, all right. So after the Senate chambers, where do we go?
Well, after the Senate chambers, then we went back downstairs. And there's two downstairs. We have the first floor diagram, but even underneath that, there is a place called the crypt. And the crypt was a public area. And they call it the crypt because it kind of reminds people of where bodies are buried.
I videoed, they have this explanation of what the crypt is, and we'll put that up on the screen now so you can read. This is actually posted on a wall in the crypt to give you a great explanation of what it actually means.
And the only, frankly, cool thing that I saw about the crypt was the fact that there's like a star right in the middle of it, and that star delineates what is North Washington, D.C., South, East, and West. It's the exact epicenter of Washington, D.C. when it was designed.
And it's roped off, so you can't actually walk over that compass-looking star on the ground, which is pretty cool.
Right.
So where do we go after the crypt?
From there, we went to the Capitol Visitors Center.
Oh, yeah, that was public. We were all laughing about this, that this was public, so this is where everybody goes when they visit the Capitol. But you can see from January 6th that there was some interesting stuff happening here while the protesters were there. I walked down these steps so you can kind of see what it looks like from the top of the steps. It's a huge grand room. I walked down the steps. I do some old home video zoom in of the title that it says the visitor center, the Capitol Visitor Center, whatever it is. I show some of the statues that are in there just to kind of give you an idea of what the room feels like and how huge this open room is on our tour and what it looked like. And this was down, down, down deep.
And of course, It was empty. Huge room, nobody there, nothing happened. And as you're looking at the video, the Capitol Rotunda or the Visitor Center, keep in mind that after January 6th, that's where the National Guard slept. They actually quartered in the Capitol, and the troops actually slept in those locations as well. So from there, we then leave there and we go up kind of one floor to the what's called the ground floor or the first floor plan. And we do have a plan of that. This is where the protesters actually entered the Capitol. If you go on the west side, and we went out the door to the west side, and we sat in that plaza there, we looked down the stairs that we showed you in the video when we were walking from the Washington Monument. We walked up and we showed you the stairs going up. So we're there, and there are barricades up. But they say, go ahead, you can go through the barricade. So we went through the barricade. But, so we're at the top of the stairs that we shot those pictures up. They wouldn't let us take any pictures toward the Washington Monument, down the stairs, no pictures at all. This was considered a private area.
And one of the Capitol policemen was explaining that it looks so different because when the speeches are there, they put up all the bleachers and the rafters.
This is where the inauguration.
Right, and it looks so different. When we were there, everybody's looking around, like, these dimensions don't feel the same as when you see it on TV because it's a totally different stage and setup, basically, when they do those events.
So from there...
That's where we could see the broken window, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. When you went through the barricade on the stairs, they let us go through, and they let us walk. We walked toward the building on the... It'd be the northwest side. On the northwest side of the building, you look, and there was scaffolding and the broken window. Now... This broken window was broken by the shields used by the Capitol Police to protect themselves. As we go up, we saw the scaffolding, and that'd be on the northwest side of the building, around one of the windows, and it was all cracked, and that was the window they used a shield to smash through in order to break it to go in. They went in that window, and then they went directly to the left when they went out into the hallway and unlocked the doors in that hallway, and everybody poured in through the doors on that side.
And we were actually able to see in a different part of our tour, which we'll put a video up now of, we were actually able to see stacks of those Capitol Police shields that were actually used to break those windows. So you can get an idea of what they look like and where they're kind of stacked up against the wall in a room that's public that's coming up that we're about to go in. So it was really interesting to see the cracked window, to see the shields there. It was just kind of an interesting part of the process.
In fact, as we walk through here, periodically, we would see shields stacked up in a corner. So obviously, they have them sitting there.
Where they just grab them as they run to the door. They're all by doors, kind of, so they just kind of grab them on the way out as part of their preparation.
So we went into that door, and we could see, and this is where a lot of the pictures have been taken, down that hallway toward the center of the building, which is a bunch of columns. And the columns are supporting the rotunda, basically. You're right under the rotunda. While we're in the rotunda, again, and you know, we told you about the rules, you can shoot out of the rotunda, out through a hallway, but once you pass the entrance to the rotunda, you can't shoot anymore. Well, there was a huge American flag.
It's kind of like sitting, down the hallway a little
bit. Yeah, just sitting right outside, if you look down there. And we took a shot of that, but we couldn't take a shot of it once we went through the archway of the rotunda. And we've got and you see a shot of that, we've got that. So as we went through and they pointed out all the offices, that hallway that they all came through, then we went out the north door. And that was the last stop on the tour, is to go through this north door and see.
Another again, big, ornate, beautiful area.
Absolutely gorgeous. And that's where we went out. And then that was the end of our tour. So all this, again, lasted about 2 hours. And we're only taking, you know, you've seen the video.
And
most of it was not public.
And the end of the tour was not, okay, guys, thanks for coming. Did you have any questions? Do you want to talk through anything? Do you want to see anything? It was literally like, we didn't even know the tour was ending. They just like were leading us around like, you know, worker bees the whole time. And we just went until it was the end. And we just all were following everybody out the door and it was over.
One of the rules we neglected to mention that they specifically told us, we could not ask questions of the Capitol Police, that they were not there to give us information, just to show us around. That if we have any questions, we've got to ask the Assistant United States Attorney, who is prosecuting our particular case.
So after having a few days to reflect on the tour, looking back on our trip to DC as a whole, what stuck out to you specifically about what DC was like in June of 2021?
Well, it was a ghost town. You could actually stand in the middle of a busy street in downtown District of Columbia and you wouldn't see a car. You wouldn't have a chance to get hit. We looked for places to have breakfast and we found one place out of about 10.
Everything was closed. All the restaurants closed. Starbucks,
right.
Dunkin' Donuts, everything was closed on the weekends. None of the museums were open. None of the monuments were open. None of the sightseeing was open. The Bible Museum was the only thing we went and saw, and it was the only thing that was open. And it was the only place to eat in like a 4-block radius. We were walking, looking to eat lunch somewhere before we were going to go to the museum. Then we asked the people, they're like, oh no, you can eat inside the Bible Museum. That's the only place that there was. It was crazy how dead it was.
Right.
It was crazy.
And a lot of the restaurants were, you know, think about tourism in Washington, D.C. It's dead now. I hate to think of how many businesses are going broke or how many people are having financial trouble because of that.
So when talking about the case, we've talked about the tour. We talked about what we saw. We talked about what we didn't see or couldn't show. But we learned some other interesting aspects about what's going on in the overall prosecution of the January 6th protesters. Talk a little bit about what we learned and what people were talking about there.
Well, one of the things you learned is, and we knew the difference in the types of crimes that were being charged to different people. So you saw lawyers who represented people on all levels of crime charts, really, really serious felonies, misdemeanors, not so serious felonies.
We talked to lawyers. They had all sorts of different facts. Every client and every lawyer had a different set of facts. Every single one of these was specific to the person and what they could prove for that defendant, which was interesting.
Right. And how they found their client, how the FBI found their client.
Right.
Some people, they were found strictly by face recognition. Others, they had family members or they had a friend or they were in the military, or they were law enforcement.
Right, I mean, Facebook, Google, closed caption television. That's how all these people were caught for the most part.
Right.
News channels, like everybody broadcasting their faces around the country is how most of the people got caught. There were lawyers from across the country, lawyers from all sorts of states, and a lot of lawyers from D.C. and Virginia and that area, the DMV.
I'm sure that this has been a real boondoggle for the D.C., law enforcement, because a lot of DC lawyers, because think about how many lawyers had to be hired to represent these people.
And the conflicts and stuff that they had to deal with. But there weren't just defense attorneys from across the country. We talked to a lot of different lawyers that had different assistant United States attorneys and different judges dealing with their case. Talk a little bit about generally in criminal defense, what it's like and how important it is, who the assistant U.S. attorney or assistant state attorney is, the prosecutor on your case, and the different judge, and how that can make a difference in how the outcome of your case is.
Well, in this particular case, for this case, all the judges are District of Columbia judges. But the Department of Justice and the local District of Columbia U.S. Attorney's Office didn't have enough assistants to prosecute this case. So they had to go out, and there are at least 30 assistant U.S. attorneys from around the country. They went out asking for volunteers to come in to help prosecute these cases. And they've tried to give them marching orders because every assistant is different. And you could have some assistants that are not so nice, is a nice way of putting it, and some that are very professional and very pleasant to deal with. So you've got the whole gamut. And, you know, we had 50 or 60 defense lawyers there. I would say I didn't hear any of them that had the same prosecutor.
Just because the judges are from the same district, same county, same circuit, doesn't mean they're going to all act the same. Everybody's an individual person, an individual lawyer, an individual judge. So there can still be some differences, and certain judges like to do things differently. Certain judges can be a lot harder than others. Certain judges can be a lot more liberal or lenient, whatever it may be. But what's always important is when you're handling a case like this in a different state or different district than where you live and the judges that you're in front of all the time, is to get as much information as you can. And a lot of the lawyers that were on this tour with us were from the District of Columbia. And they had practiced there in front of these judges and know these judges well. And they were talking to us about what judges handle certain cases certain ways, what judges act certain ways, how they like you to present things to them, whether they're super harsh or lenient, or whether you should plead this way or that way. And it was good to get this information about the assistants in D.C. and the judges in D.C. from lawyers that practice there day in and day out so that we could help that in our representation of our client.
And that's what good criminal defense lawyers do. They share information. And we found that some there were very willing to sit down and talk to us and share information.
And overall, I think it was an awesome trip. It was very beneficial for what we're going to do for our client in this case. And I think it was just a really good experience overall to understand the full process of what happened January 6th and to shed some light for you guys out there on what really happened, how different each one of these cases are, how different each one of these defendants are. They all did not do the same thing. They all did not deserve the same punishment, in my opinion. But I do want to hear what you guys think. Do you think just being there is bad enough? Or do you think their actions they took to go inside and what they did while they were in there should matter more in their prosecution?
Thanks for watching this episode of The Lawyer You Know. If you like this content, please share it with your friends. Make sure you subscribe to our page and like our videos. If you want some interaction, get in the comments and we'll be sure to get back to you. If you want to know any more information about our firm or this page, you can find out in the description or visit tragoslaw.com. We post multiple times throughout the week, so make sure you hit that bell so you can get the notification and not miss out on the next episode.